Good morning. I'm producer Andrea Appleton, and this is On the Record. Maryland is a hub for science and engineering research, and today we're going to talk about a few researchers who've recently been recognized by the Maryland Academy of Sciences and the Maryland Science Center. Yesterday, the 2016 Outstanding Young Scientists and Outstanding Young Engineers were announced. Here to tell us about the awards and this year's winners is Jim O'Leary, senior scientist at the Maryland Science Center. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Andrew. Nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the origins of these awards.
Sure. So the Maryland Academy of Sciences decided to have the Outstanding Young Scientist Award back in 1959. It was an idea just to try to recognize the young scientists' work that's happening in Maryland and to increase the awareness not only that these folks are doing good work, but that there's a lot of good scientific research happening in our state between NASA, Johns Hopkins, lots of institutions that have this type of work. So in 1988, based on the success of the Scientist Award, we decided to add the Outstanding Young Engineer Award. And just a few years ago, we sort of separated those awards. So we have four now. We have two Scientist Awards, one in the academic arena in universities and one in the non-academic arena. And then same with the engineer, academic and non-academic. So we can do up to four if there are, you know, suitable candidates each year for that.
Why young scientists?
People who have made their mark in science are relatively well-known, certainly in the science fields. But folks that are beginning their careers or relatively early in their careers, first 10 years or so, it's an opportunity to highlight their work because we know they're going to go on to really good things. And we've had some awardees that have gone on to pretty stellar careers.
And what qualifies as young?
That's always an interesting question, right? So we have two different age criteria. For the academic awards, it's 35 years or younger. And for the non-academic, it's 40 years or younger. And the distinction there is really based on the idea that in academia, it's a little easier to get your work done and recognition done early in your career. Where in non-academic arena, sometimes it takes a little bit longer.
Are the scientists themselves applying for these awards, or are these nominations from other parties?
Yeah, these are nominations from others. So we get nominations mostly from the institutions these folks work in. It's a package that is reviewed by our Scientific and Educational Advisory Council. So the Academy has a council of about 24 individuals represent academia and other institutions, scientists, doctors, engineers, and a committee of those folks review all the nominations and then decide on, you know, any number of awardees for a year, anywhere from none or one or two or four. This year it's four.
One of this year's award winners is in studio with us. Let's bring him into this conversation. Ryan Gardner, a computer scientist at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, is this year's Outstanding Young Engineer in the non-academic sector. Congratulations and welcome to On the Record.
Thanks a lot for having me, Andrea.
Ryan, you received your award for research into preventing mid-air collisions by aircraft. How big of a problem are mid-air collisions?
Well, so right now there is an existing system for avoiding collisions, and the one we're working on is to replace that. So fortunately, that system is successful. Historically, though, collisions are a little more common than people think. There have been roughly 11 between large commercial aircraft, and of course, many more among smaller aircraft.
Why does the existing system need improving?
So first, I'll just clarify that there have not been any collisions that resulted when both pilots followed a working TCAS, which is the existing system. The new system is being created to adapt to a changing airspace, you know, denser traffic, as well as some of this work is being done for unmanned aircraft.
Your work is on verifying the new system, meaning you are ensuring it's going to work in the real world, basically.
That is correct, yes. In particular, that it is safe. There are actually two requirements of the system. One is, of course, that it is safe, but one is also that it doesn't alert more than necessary. And of course, this actually plays into safety as well, because, you know, if the system just always tells you to climb or something, the pilots will ignore it.
The boy who cried wolf syndrome.
Yes. Okay. And this is a, in real life, this does happen. You know, alerts are issued and pilots deem that they are unnecessary and so they don't always get followed.
Well, can you give us a sense of the complexity of the problem you're solving without getting too technical?
So this is a hard question to explain, but if we think of an encounter between two airplanes, a very simple version of the state space.
What's a state space?
A state space is a particular state of an encounter. So this would include things like, what is the altitude of each aircraft? What is the climbing rate of each aircraft? What is the direction each aircraft is headed? The state space is all the possibilities of those combinations, all the ways the aircraft could be heading, all the possible altitudes, these types of things. So in one very useful model, there are roughly 10 to the 70th possible encounters. This is roughly the number of atoms that are in the visible universe.
And that's the number of ways that these aircraft could...
That they could meet and interact together, roughly. The point is, it is very complex. There are a lot of dimensions here.
Is a human being one of those variables, what a human being might do in a given situation?
Part of the state space is, yes, what is the human being doing? And part of what makes verification of this system difficult is that you have to somehow model the pilot. The version of the system for manned aircraft does not actually change the airplane's path. It just advises the pilot. And so then you have to consider the possibility of the pilot listening or not listening and responding in 5 seconds or 2 seconds.
So, that seems to make it much more difficult, right?
Absolutely.
So what have you done differently with your design than previous anti-collision?
Yeah, so so let me explain this by giving a little bit of background. Typically, the way the collision avoidance system is verified is testing. What testing means is you provide a particular input and you see what the system does. And you do that many, many times. You could do this in the air, but normally to do this enough times to gain assurance in the system, you would do this in a computer model. And what this tells you whenever you do this is that the system does what you want for that particular input. The problem is with a real life complex system, the number of possible inputs is, again, you know, sort of on the order of the number of atoms in the visible universe. And so you run into this question of how many test cases are enough. And so the goal of the work is to find ways to actually show that the system is doing what you would expect it to do for all possible inputs. This is done by mathematical analysis as opposed to simply submitting a large number of test cases.
Testing each possibility.
And testing each possibility, because there are far too many possibilities to ever finish.
And this is a new wrinkle that your team has added to the picture.
That's right. This is not to replace testing, but it complements it.
That's Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory computer scientist Ryan Gardner, who is the winner of this year's Outstanding Engineer in the Non-Academic Category from the Maryland Science Center. Jim O'Leary from the Maryland Science Center, what stood out about Ryan's nomination?
Oh, I think it's just that it has such an application to real-world problems. You know, you think about what you've heard on the news lately about there could be automatic delivery of materials you order online by drone in the near future. And this kind of thing could affect that weeks, months, years down the line. And it's just one of those amazing things you don't really think about too much, that there are numerous airlines in flight all the time. And there has to be a really workable system for this to safely navigate the skies.
So is an application to the real world one of the factors you look at when you're looking at
very
these nominations?
Very much so, yeah. So I think the sort of the focus of the Applied Physics Lab is they try to take, you know, some science engineering topics and really try to find applications in the world that everybody can take advantage of.
Tell us briefly about a few of the other winners this year.
Sure. A number of fascinating winners. Donna Kalu from the University of Maryland School of Medicine is working on ways that the brain reacts to addiction and inhibits addiction. She's put together some novel devices that a number of other labs around the country have tried to work on. And a lot of that she did as a postdoctoral student at NIH. So very impressive. And then Ishan Barman is an engineer at Johns Hopkins University. He's developed a biopsy method where they can detect at the moment cancerous tumors at a very, very early stage, much earlier than can be detected in clinical work today. So great possible breakthroughs there, but that's still in clinical testing. It's going to be 2 or 3 more years before the FDA, you know, rules one way or the other. And then Laurent Poyou from the Space Telescope Science Institute is an astronomer up there. He's really recognized as one of the world's foremost exoplanet imaging analysts. These are planets that orbit distant stars, billions of miles away, light years away, and they're hidden in the glare of their star. So you try to find this very faint planet, which he estimates is like 10 billion times fainter than the star itself, and try to tweak out the image from that star. So he's developing software, instrumentation, and a lot of his ideas will probably be incorporated on future NASA missions that are looking for exoplanets. So it's a great array of scientists and engineers that we have here in the area that are working these amazing projects.
Are there comparable awards in other states?
We've come across a few that are similar, but not quite the same. The idea of this, so the young scientists early in the career, and that's one of the things that I think stands out about ours. We see a lot for established scientists.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Jim O'Leary is senior scientist at the Maryland Science Center. Yesterday, the Science Center announced the winners of its annual Outstanding Young Scientist and Outstanding Young Engineer Awards, recognizing the efforts of young Maryland researchers. Ryan Gardner is a recipient of the 2016 Outstanding Young Engineer Award. This is On the Record. I'm producer Andrea Appleton. Time for a break. Stay with us.